Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long, and to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood and for the violence of the land of the city and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Let's pray, and we'll get into this morning. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for the safety that you gave the buses on the way here this morning. And Lord, I do thank you for a warm building that we can be in, just a place that we can meet, and it's dry. And Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for all the people that over the years have sacrificed so that we can stand here today and we can reap the benefits. And Lord, honestly, my generation, for the most part, just reap the benefits of what previous generations have given, what they've sacrificed. And Lord, I thank you for them. Thank you for what they have done. And God, I pray that you help us this morning, helps we look at your word and just a challenge from the word of God. And Lord, I pray that we would just be able to apply it to our lives. Help all the Sunday school teachers as they're meeting, Lord. I pray that you just help them, be with them, give them a quietness in their classes. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this morning. Pray that you guide my words. And Lord, I can't do this without you. And I pray that you just help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to verse number 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And we're going to look at this morning, because God tells Habakkuk a very interesting thing here. And I've always known this verse, and it's helped me even as a young man. Even as a teenager, this verse has helped me. So verse number 2, the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Now, if you know the story, Habakkuk is much like many of the other minor prophets. He very much foretells gloom and doom for the nation of Israel. And because Israel has left God, and because Israel has strayed away from God, Habakkuk is bringing these ill tidings, if you would, to Israel. Now there is mixed in some blessings. There is some things, especially at the end of the book. But God tells Habakkuk very specifically, and we're going to talk about this, about the running. Now God, none of us in this room is the pastor. Okay. Very obviously, Pastor Ross is the pastor, okay? But God lays things on the pastor's heart, okay? Much like God laid something on Habakkuk's heart. Now, there's two responsibilities here. There's two responsibilities given in verse number 2. One is to the prophet. One is to the man of God. And his responsibility is, and you can see it right here. He says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables. So the pastor or the man of God is given a certain responsibility, okay? And his responsibility is basically to present or to give forth or to, as this says, to write upon a table, all right, and make it plain the vision, all right? And I believe our pastor, honestly, I believe he does a great job of that, okay? I really do. He does a great job of, it's not just, hey, we're going to do this. You know, at the beginning of the year, we've already talked about next year, and you know, he's expressed some things that he would like to do next year. And what is that? He's giving a vision, and he's writing it on. You know, he gives us at the beginning of the year, I don't have one in my Bible, but he gives us most of the time a church calendar. You know what that is? That is him fulfilling Habakkuk chapter 2, his role in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 2. He is writing upon a table the vision that God has given him, what God, he believes that God wants him to convey to us, the people, okay? So there is that responsibility. You know, if the vision is never put forth, you know, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And pastor does a great job of putting forth the vision, okay? And I believe that. He doesn't just leave us hanging. You know, the shepherd has to have a plan about where to go, where to take the flock, and that's very true. And I stand firmly behind our pastor, and I believe that he does a great job of giving the vision. And but there is a second part. There is a second part here, and I'm going to come back to the pastor periodically. But the second part is given in verse number 2, that he may run that readeth it. That he may run that readeth it. Now, obviously, we have to have two parts for this to work. Now, if you go back, you know, obviously, in Bible times, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have radios, they didn't have these forms of communication. So if a message was going to be, you know, if a general is on his battlefield and a message needs to be relayed from one part of the battlefield to another part of the battlefield, they did it in various ways. One of them, they used maybe banners, signals. They used men to do signals. They used trumpets sometimes. But sometimes you couldn't see the other part of the battlefield, so signals wouldn't work. Sometimes it was so far away, maybe you couldn't hear a trumpet, so the trumpets wouldn't work. So many times they used runners. And that was their whole job, was simply to carry a message from one place to another. Okay, and that was their task. That was their job. And I'm going to give you some illustrations of this. And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, or I'm sorry, chapter 18. Not 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. We are going to 1 Samuel later, but 2 Samuel chapter 18. Let's go there first. So we have the pastor that gives what God has laid on his heart, okay? But we also have the people that need to be able to run with the vision that is given to them. 2 Samuel chapter 18, it's an interesting story here. We're going to start in verse number 19, and I'm going to kind of just skip through this, and I'll kind of give you an overview of the story. But 2 Samuel chapter number 18, starting in verse number 19. Now, previous to this, in chapter number 18, is when Joab finally catches up with Solomon, King David's son, after Solomon has rebelled and has produced an insurrection. So Joab catches up to him. And Joab, I will say, you know, he was very loyal to David, and at this point anyway, and he has no patience for a traitor. And Joab, he puts it to Absalom, and he kills Absalom and the young men, and they have a part in Absalom's death. So after this, verse number 19, if you look at verse number 19, the Bible says, "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Now, I don't really understand. Ahimaaz, if you read the story, Joab chooses a man named Cushai, okay? And Joab chooses this man named Cushai, and he comes to Cushai and he says, "I want you to go tell the king that Absalom, your son, is dead." Now, I don't really understand why he didn't let Ahimaaz go tell David that Absalom was dead. Because this guy is faster than Cushai. Okay? He could bear the news quicker. I'm going to say it's probably because of the way that Joab knew that Ahimaaz would present the news, and he knew that it needed to be, this is very delicate information, okay? It's not just something you want to bust in and tell the king. It's got to be, it needed to be presented in a proper manner, okay? And I believe that's probably why Joab knew that, all right, Cushai needs to take this message. Maybe he's more diplomatic in his speech. I don't know, all right? But Ahimaaz wants to take the message. He's itching to go, all right? And, but there's a couple things here I want to point out. You know, it's up to the man sending the message many times about who he wants to take the message, all right? And, you know, as pastor presents something, it's important that, you know, hey, you know, I understand there's not ever, you know, I don't get upset when pastor says, well, I want somebody else to do this job. It doesn't bother me, okay? And it shouldn't be, well, I should be in charge of that, okay? You know, pastor's given wisdom by the Lord about who should be in charge of certain things. And, you know, I've kind of gotten past the place. It really doesn't bother me, you know. I've got plenty of other things to do. it doesn't bother me if, well, why didn't pastor ask you? I don't care. I don't know, and I don't care, okay? But you know what I want to do? Because it's me working under pastor, it's very important that I do exactly, you know, me and Brother Young, hey, I'm not in charge of the school, okay? Don't come tell me school problems. That's not my responsibility. Does that make sense? Okay? And quite honestly, I'm very thankful for that. Honestly, I am. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have, it's not that I wouldn't do it if I was asked to, because that's the job of the runner. Whatever the man that's, you know, if you've got the vision in front of you, Bible says that he may run that readeth it. All right, here's the message that you're supposed to take. Now you need to go do this. All right, and it's up to the runner to get that job done. It's not up to the guy that had the task given to him. It's up to the runner. All right, and we see this story about Ahimaaz, and so Joab sends Cushai, and he says, "I want you to go tell the king that his son is dead." So Cushai starts out, and Ahimaaz is just like, "I gotta go. I just gotta run." And so Joab's like, "Why are you running? You've got nothing to tell the king." And so Ahimaaz is like, "Well, I just want to go." And so Joab says, "All right, go ahead." So he takes off and he passes Cushai. He's faster and he passes Cushai. So Ahimaaz comes to the king, and you know the story, the watchman's on top of the wall, and he says, "I see somebody running." And David said, "Who is it?" And, you know, the watchman says, "Well, he runs like Ahimaaz, all right?" And then he comes in, he really can't tell the king anything. And so he just kind of ran in vain. And then Cushai comes in, and he's a bearer of bad news. And he tells the king that his son has been killed. So we see here, though, we see an illustration of these runners. Men that have been given a vision to run with, all right? Men have been given something that they're supposed to take, and they're supposed to transfer this truth, all right? So we see that story. I'm going to give you three things this morning that running shows. And it's not, you know, Joab didn't tell Cushai, "All right, I want you to, you know, take a leisurely trip and go walk, you know, just take your time, go tell the king, you know, nothing's pressing." No, he said, "I want you to run." All right? And what does running imply? You know, running implies some different things. And we live in a society now, we don't run anymore. We don't run anywhere anymore. Now, when we say, "I want to run to the store," nobody runs to the store, okay? You mean you're going to drive to the store. If I have to go from here to the parsonage, you know, I don't walk. I drive my truck from here to the parsonage. I'm lazy, okay? We don't run as a society anymore, all right? Now, there are a few people that do still run. And probably most people in here don't run at all, all right? I still run sometimes, only if I have to. I just, you know, that's why God gave us vehicles. So We don't run anymore. But there are some truths about running, and I'm going to show you some of these truths. Now, we got to understand our position. I have to understand my position. You know, my position is not to give the vision, okay? That's not my position. That's not where God has put me. You know what my position, when pastor says, hey, I got an idea. Do you know what that means? When pastor says, I have an idea, or pastor says, tell somebody, we'll take care of that for you. You know what that means for me? Here, go do this. That's what it means. And you know what? I'm perfectly happy with that. Because I'm not held accountable, and I've heard a man say this before, I'm not held accountable to God for the vision that is at the church. I'm only held accountable for how I carry out that vision. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm not, you know, I don't have to stand before God and answer to God for the direction of our church. I have to stand before God and answer for the way I handled the vision that was presented to me. All right? You know, pastor presented this operation occupation. What was that? That was a vision. You know, none of us have to, and honestly, I'm thankful. I don't have to stand before God and answer to God that was the vision for our church. And I think it was. I think that's what God had for our church this year. And we've seen some amazing things as a result of that. If nothing else has changed the lives of those who have been involved, I don't have to stand before God and answer that. I only have to stand before God and answer to how did you do carrying it out. Okay, when we have a big day here at church, it's not up to me to decide what the big day is. All right? It's just up to me to make sure that the big day goes the way it's supposed to go. Does that make sense? All right? And that's what God has, you know, as a young person, it wasn't up to me to decide the direction of our family as a young person. But it was up to me to make sure that I obeyed when I was given a command to do something. All right? That was my dad's responsibility, not mine. Now, in my life, for my family, you know, my kids and my wife aren't responsible for the direction of my family. But when I choose a direction, they'll be held accountable to God for how they carried out that direction. Okay? And so we have to understand our position. But I'm going to give you three things quickly this morning about running. First of all, running shows priority or urgency. Okay? It shows a priority, an urgency to get something done. Go to 1 Samuel. I told you I messed up at the beginning. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. All right, when I'm given something, it ought to present a priority. That's my priority. All right, when somebody says, all right, you're going to run with this. Here's the vision. Here, I'm presenting this to you. Now you take off and you go do it. You know, I'm held accountable for how I do that. And my running, you know, don't walk. All right, and I understand. I'm not speaking about, listen, I understand there is a level of, you get to an age, you get to a time of life, I don't have the energy I used to, okay? And some people are like, well, I go, you know, I would go soul winning. I just don't have the energy to. Okay, and hey, that is, God understands that. Okay, God understands the time of life, but it's not just about that. It's about, I think a lot of it's about our heart condition. Okay, you know, there's a difference from a person that wishes they could but can't physically, and somebody that just has no desire to be involved. There's a big difference there. Okay, and so the running shows a priority. The running shows the heart to get something done that, okay, I may not even understand the message, okay? I think of the runner that was carrying the news of Uriah's death when Uriah got killed because of David's sin. And if you read the message that Joab gave to David, and I don't know who the runner, and I didn't even look at the story, honestly. But the runner, I don't even know who he was. But he had to carry a message. And he probably didn't even really understand, why is Joab making such a big deal about Uriah's death? Okay? He may have not even understood it, but he carried the message. Okay? And honestly, there's some things I don't always understand. Why God wants us to do certain things. Why it's not up to me to understand it. Okay? I just carry the message. I'm just the runner. All right? And I want to be a good runner. But running shows priority. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. And the first part of this, verse 15, 1 Samuel 17, verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. So what did he give him? All right, here's something you're taking with you. All right, here's a message, here's a task. Now run. All right, look down at verse number 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brother. You know, David knew the urgency of this. David knew the priority. Okay, I'm going to leave my sheep. All right, this is the task. This is my job right now. I'm tending sheep. But my father came to me and he said, here's a task, here's the vision, here's the message, here's what you're supposed to do. And he said, okay, but dad, I just need to stay with the sheep. He didn't argue, he didn't complain, he left what he was doing and he went and did what his father asked him to. Okay, immediate obedience. And he didn't walk there, he ran there. He made all haste, it was his priority. So running shows priority. You know, if I work some different young men doing construction and different things. And you know, one of the things I look for when I first start working with a young man, because listen, I don't expect a young man to be, to be a top hand when he first starts. I don't have unreasonable expectations. Okay. I really feel like I'm pretty easy to work for. Okay. I don't require a ton. But, you know, I do want somebody that's going to hustle. And when I say, hey, I need that tool, I don't want to sit there waiting 5 minutes while they go get the tool. Okay? You know, if I'm going to invest in a young man, and I've got two young men working for me, and I tell both of them the same thing, I need that, and it's 15 yards away, and I got to have it. You know, we've been working on, I've done several roofs this year. And we cut the shingles, and I have a pair of shears that I cut shingles with. And when I get to the rake edge, I cut the shingles off, and then we start on the other side. So I use the shears on one end, and I use the shears on the other end. Well, I don't know. I don't take them with me when I'm roofing, okay? Well, you know, one of the things if I say, hey, I need the shears to cut these shingles, all right? You know who I'm willing to pay more, who I'm willing to give more to? Isn't the young man that just kind of saunters over to the inn and gets him. And, you know, I've wasted 2 minutes by the time he gets back, or 3 minutes. You know who the person I'm going to invest, I'm going to give more to, is the young man that trots down there to the other side, picks him up, and trots back. Okay? That's who I'm, and listen, that's the way it is in the workplace. All right? Who gets, I know there's job situations, and this is, anyway, I'm not going to go there, but there's job situations where you can bust yourself working and you get paid the same amount that somebody else does. And that's wrong. That's just wrong. Okay? I don't care what it is. But if you're going to work harder than somebody else, that ought to be recognized and you ought to get promoted for it. All right? And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but, you know, there is principles of working harder and getting paid for that. Where's an incentive to work harder if you don't get rewarded for working harder? Okay, there needs to be an incentive there. But anyway, that's besides the point. But you know what? Running shows a priority. Running shows, okay, this is what I've been given. I got to get there. I got to get this, and I got to get back. It shows a priority. All right, running shows, here's the second thing. Running shows a purpose. Running shows a purpose. You don't run without a purpose. All right, now, I said priority means, all right, this is what's next. This is the main thing. But you run, most people don't, you know why none of us, why we don't run anymore? Because it's just not worth it to us. Now, you know what? if your grandbaby is about to jump off of, or, you know, fall into a swimming pool, or, okay, I've seen older people run. Why? Because there's something urgent. There's something that's a priority, all right? There, you've got a purpose now to run. Does it hurt? Yes, it may hurt. And then some people just, what doesn't kill will make them stronger. Hey, I built this mezzanine in my barn, and I don't have a handrail, so it's 8 feet up, and I don't have a handrail across it. I'm sure if somebody, you know, insurance wouldn't like that, but it's 8 feet up, and I don't have a handrail, and it's, you know, concrete at the bottom. And so my kids, they love going up. You know, anything that's higher, kids like to climb, go up. So kids go up there. Well, my in-laws, when they're in, my mom hasn't been over there yet when the kids have been up there, but and she would do the same thing. But I mean, if the kids go up there, I mean, they don't even have to be standing on the edge. But if the kids go up there, they are a nervous wreck. And I'm down there where I don't even know that the kids are up there. Okay. You're terrible. Okay, whatever. But you know, if they would be, I mean, they're like on pins and needles, just, you know, it's like they're waiting to run to catch them. It's like, you know, I mean, how many of you have walked up something and never once has the thought crossed your mind to jump? Okay. And you know, they've got fairly nimble feet, and if they fall, they're mostly of cartilage, so they'll be fine. All right. But what does that show? It shows an urgency. It shows a purpose. All right? Cushai had a purpose. He was given, I've got to get this to the king. All right? He ran because he had a purpose. Psalm chapter 119. I'll read you a verse here. Psalm chapter 119. What should be our purpose? Why do we run? Well, we can run because of the vision that pastor's given us. We can run because of commandments in the Bible. Psalms 119, verse number 32, the Bible says, I will run the way of thy commandments. Why would, you know, I know there's a lot of places in Psalms, he says, I will walk in thy precepts. I will walk in thy, but he says here, I will run in thy commandments. There's a difference there. It matters because of a purpose. I've got to get there. I've got to have a purpose. Pastor had this mile run. I think it was a 2 mile run that he decided he was going to do before he went elk hunting. And then sometime during that process, he dropped it down to a 1 mile run. Because you know why? It just wasn't worth it to him. I'm just telling you, it just wasn't worth it. But before that, okay, I was running. Because I don't have very good, I can work all day long, 100 miles an hour. But working all day long, 100 miles an hour, and running is a completely different thing. You got to have the stamina to run, okay? That requires an extra stamina. So before that, I'm like, okay, I can't go. My worst fear at this thing, the 2 mile run, was I'm going to go to this, and I'm going to have this, you know, 15-year-old girl that, you know, I'm standing there on the side of the road, you know, dying, and I get this 15-year-old girl just pass me up. I'm like, that is not happening. Okay. I may not win, but I at least got to be, you know, I got to beat the girls. Okay. I still got that in me. All right. So before that, I was running, I wouldn't run every night, maybe 3 nights a week. I would run down and I was running a little over 2 miles because that's what he said. All right. If we're going to run 2 miles. So then that was kind of disappointing because, you know, I practiced running 2 miles and then, we're just running a mile. I'm like, why did I practice running 2 miles? Well, why did you practice running 2 miles? Because I had a purpose. I had something I was working towards. I had something that I wanted to be prepared for. All right, so running shows purpose. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Paul gives us this illustration of running in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse number 24. Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run, why? That ye may obtain. That ye may obtain. Why is everybody running in the race? Is it just for the benefit of saying they, you know, they ran the race? No. You run a race because you want to win the race. That's what Paul's saying here. That gives you a purpose, okay? And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. What is that saying? I'm running for a purpose. I'm not running just to run. I'm running for a purpose. I'm running certainly, not uncertainly. I'm running certainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's talking there about shadow boxing, basically. Okay, and it's an exercise. It's basically you're boxing nothing. Okay, and why would you do that? All right, why? Okay, and that's what he's saying. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I should have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So running shows priority. Running shows purpose. I'm going to go to Philippians. You're right there close. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter number 2. I'll read you this verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, nobody wants to run for no purpose. All right? Nobody wants to go and be like, man, I just wasted my time. I wasted my energy. I just wasted all that. Okay, so you need to run. We need to run with a purpose. What is our purpose? The purpose is given to us. Okay, run with purpose. Run with, all right, I need to get this done. I got to get this done. And that drives us to do a good job, drives us to run hard. All right, thirdly and lastly is running shows preparation. If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, all right, running shows priority. This is what is given to us. This is of utmost importance. Running shows purpose. I got to have a purpose inside of me. Okay, I want to get this done. I want to do the best I can to get this task done. Whatever it is, okay, whatever God presents to the pastor or whatever God lays on our heart, I got to get this done. And then running shows preparation. Do you notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, he's talking about running a race, and verse number 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery. What is the mastery? That's like the highest attainment. A master carpenter is an excellent carpenter. A master electrician, Brother Isaac, you know, the master electricians, the ones that know the ins and outs, they're a master at it. But what does the Bible say? And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, what does that mean? I would say it means he's balanced, okay? He knows what is good for him, and he knows what's not good for him, okay? Now, what do you say that? Because of verse number 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What are you talking about preparation? You know, for a man to run properly, he's got to be prepared to run properly. Why did you spend a couple weeks before that run with preacher to be in a physical shape that you could do that? I was preparing, okay? You can't tell me that Cushai, remember, these guys that were runners were chosen for their running ability, okay? Cushai wasn't wearing a full suit of armor to run in. Cushai wasn't on the front lines fighting. No, he was standing back here and he had a purpose. He had a job, okay? I don't think Cushai was probably the strongest guy in the army, okay? Cushai was not the Benaiah and the Shimei. He wasn't David's mighty men, but he still had a job to do and he still had a purpose in life. Okay, what was it? It was to run. And he couldn't be weighed down with a sword. He couldn't be weighed down with the armor. Go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And so many times in life, we've been given a vision, and we've been given something that we have to do, but we've got all this junk that we're trying to carry with us. Okay? And this is probably the biggest problem for most. It's not that we don't have a heart. Well, I want to do this. I want to help our pastor. I want to help our church. It's not just about our pastor. It's not about the church. Honestly, it's about the Lord. Okay? That's why we should be doing what we're doing, is because of the Lord. But then we try running and we try getting going and we've got all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, but I got this I got to take with me. And I've got this I got to take with me. Hebrews chapter 1, 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What are we doing? What is a Christian supposed to do? Okay, we've been given the vision, and that's not our job. Okay, I've just been given what I'm told to do. But if I've got all this junk that I'm trying to take with me, and it's not always even sin. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, let us lay aside every weight. And then it says, and the sin, which doth so easily beset us. It's not just about laying aside the evil that we may, you know, the secret sin in life. You know, you're to the age, you're to the maturity as a Christian, okay? You're pretty much, hopefully, you know, you're past the secret sin thing. But you know, all of us, we've got a lot of weights. Things that just, you know, if I'm carrying an extra 100 pounds around, I'm not going to be able to run as effectively as I could if I didn't have the 100 pounds. I'm going to tire quicker. I'm just not going to be able to do it. What does the Bible say? You need to get rid of some of that stuff. It's getting rid of the weights. A man that striveth for the mastery, he's not encumbered. He doesn't take, well, I got to take this with me, and I got to take this with me, and I got to take this with me. You know, it's amazing how fast the devil can put weights in our lives. And, you know, Saturday, you know, and I don't know how the devil does it, but Saturday, you know, is our day that we do a lot of extra visiting. You know, between the bus and our operation occupation, we go and we visit people and we try to impact people. But isn't it, I don't know what it is, but Saturday morning, you know, Friday night, I've got everything planned out. We're going to go visiting from this time to this time. I've got stuff to get done at church before Sunday. I've got a few things I got to fix, et cetera, et cetera. I've got it all planned out. Inevitably, Saturday morning, I'll get a text or a phone call. Hey, I need you to help me with this. Hey, I've got this came up. This is an emergency. You know, something happens in my life. You know, something breaks on the truck or something breaks on the car. And it's just like, what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to say, hey, it's not a sin to fix your truck. It's not a sin to fix your car. It's not a sin to fix something in the house. Okay? It's not a sin to do a lot of the things we have in life. But if we're not careful, the devil just starts very slowly. Here's a pound. And another pound. And another pound. And he doesn't most of the time dump 100 pounds on us at once. He just gives us 1 pound increments, and before long, we're trying to run, carry the message. We got all this stuff. All right? And we just gotta be careful about that. So, as the runners, because that's what we are. That's what I am. I'm just a runner. Okay? I have no desire to be I'm very, very happy being a runner. But I want to make sure I run right. I want to make sure I run with priority. I want to make sure I run with a purpose. I want to make sure I run prepared. I don't want all this stuff hanging on that's just going to slow me down and hinder me. So let's run with purpose. Let's run with priority. And let's make sure that we're prepared to run. We're prepared to run. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for just your people. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their attentiveness. Lord, I pray that you bless us and help us. Help us be good runners. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.